On tonight's episode of The Good Word, Isis Young joins me to recap Game 4 of the NBA Finals. The Dallas Mavericks give us something to talk about, and we wonder if the Dallas defense or the Boston offense was the key factor in the Mavericks' win. And we talk a little bit about Finals MVP and predictions for Game 5. All that and ice on today's episode.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. You're part of the Ball Don't Lie podcast. Get us wherever you get your podcast. I am live here at American Airlines Center in Dallas. If you're on YouTube and you see this new face, maybe a familiar face, she will be in the future. She is the newest member of the Yahoo Sports family. Welcome, everybody. Isis, Ice Young. Ice, how you doing tonight?
What's good? I'm awesome. Thanks for having me. Excited to chop it up and talk about Game 4. We got a lot to talk about, I feel like. Dallas gave us something to talk about.
A lot to talk about. Look, before we get there, of course, we got to give people a little rundown for you. You played professionally in Greece after a decorated career at Syracuse, and now you're new here. You're going to be talking NBA, WNBA, college, just all over the basketball map. So with that, I'm going to be the point guard, and you're going to play a little combo guard today, all right? I know you're used to that. So you tell me what you saw in this 122-84 Game 4 staving elimination win for the Dallas Mavericks. What stuck out the most to you tonight?
Yeah, I think just one word, like defense, right? Like one word, defense. It's just the level of intensity, the defensive rotations, the intentionality on making sure that you're keeping Boston out of the paint, that you're rotating, that you're contesting all shots, not just some shots, all shots. I feel like just the clear difference in games 1, 2, and 3 versus 4 is the way in which Dallas approached their defense. I really like what, you know, Derek Lively had said in one of his interviews today, talking about like, we just got to be the aggressor, right? Like we needed to be the aggressor. They needed to punch first and they set the tone. I just only wish we weren't talking in Game 4. I wish this was Game 3. Because I feel like it's a little bit too late to bring that type of energy, but I'm glad we saw it, and I'm glad we saw how dominant this team can be defensively. That's not something you would have said about a team that has Luka Doncic on it, but you're seeing that today. And I think Luka also honestly led the hype for his team defensively. Honestly, really impressed with him and his leadership today, because I did not think that Luka had it in him to sit down and to guard and to give multiple efforts defensively in a game where they needed to win.
Well, since you went to Luka, we're going to go to Luka, right? He was cool. In the eye of the storm for the last 2 days. And Jason Kidd, I don't know if you saw it before the game, Jason Kidd was his biggest defender, A, which he has to do, right? If you want to stay employed, you need to figure out who's in charge and make sure that man feels comfortable, right? Okay, cool. Luka, I think, played with a sense of pride tonight. It was, like you said, the competition, being able to compete. More of that, less of the nonsense, you know, more force, less of focusing on the officials. You're saying it's too little, too late. I tend to agree with you. Boston's going to be a madhouse on Monday. But, did they figure out something by shutting off the three-point line for Boston?
I think so. I think I hesitate to say, like, figured it out. I think that maybe they discovered a couple of pieces and a couple of things that they can do to run them off the line, to force them to shoot a low percentage, because Boston just did not seem comfortable from three today. They only shot 34% on 41 attempts. So I feel like they figured it out a little bit, but you know Boston, right? They're going to come back and they're going to make adjustments. There are going to be some different things done. But I did think that Dallas did a good job of the entire game of staying consistent with their defense, right? The entire game. I didn't seem like at any point there was a let up and then Boston made a run and it was like, oh, this is about to get close. The entire game, it seemed like this is Mavs. The Mavs are going to win this single-handedly.
Yeah, I think this was the Dallas Mavericks team that the silly few of us who picked Dallas to win this series, right? I will raise my hand, I will get on the sword and say, you know what? I was wrong. Boston, I'll concede, but not yet. Right? Not yet. Okay? Because they're still the Boston Celtics. Okay? And last year, Boston went down 3-0 to Miami and stormed back, got some nice bounces, that Derek White bounce in Game 6, and found themselves back home for Game 7. It's not necessarily going to happen here, but Kristaps Porzingis. He was listed as available, but he didn't play. That looks like that ankle's going to need surgery, right?
Yeah.
If you're going into game five in Boston, your defense looks the way it looks. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did not play well. They were both jacking up shots. Like, did you see early on that Brown and Tatum were kind of going through this, your turn, my turn, who's going to win finals MVP? And then the game got lost away from them?
Yeah, I felt like it was so clear today. I feel like we've seen that other times, other games. But to be honest, right, in terms of just playoff series and the Boston Celtics playoffs, they haven't been tested a ton, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't faced much resistance. And so I felt like they were met with a resistance today that made them uncomfortable, that made them look like, wait, hold on, who is Jason Tatum? Who is Jaylen Brown? Like, we need other people to step up now. Wait, we don't have other people. Everybody looked uncomfortable for the Celtics. So I completely agree with you that at one point it seemed like they were kind of going back and forth. And again, like, that's where the leadership and the team aspect of the game needs to come in. But also, hey, coaching staff, right? Like, need to be able to see that and address that.
Are you saying that my brother in Christ, Joe Mazzulla, was not out here doing his job? Is that what you're saying? Is that where we going, Ice?
I don't think it's Joe Mazzulla's fault. You know, I think Dallas came out there and punched first, and they didn't stop punching. And Boston did not have a response. And so, yeah, like, you're up 3-0, right? You have a game to give up. Obviously, you know, you're going back home. You talked about it's going to be a madhouse there. So I think at a certain point you understand what's going on, that you just don't have it today. But there definitely needs to be adjustments made. There definitely needs to be adjustments made, because I think Dallas put together a tremendous performance. And now they've got confidence getting ready to go on the road. And listen, defense travels. Shooting doesn't always travel, but defense, baby, every slide, every rotation, every rebound, that can travel.
Now, speaking of defense, right? And in case for those who don't know, I'm a bit on the sarcastic side. So when I was talking about Joe, I was, you know, I was being a little bit of a jerk there, right? Ice, you'll get to know that my jerk for most of the time is relatively harmless. John is probably over there saying, no, Vinny's an asshole. Which I will respect, right? But you talked about adjustments, and the thing that jumped out to me, in the first 2 minutes, Daniel Gafford was out, Derek Lively was in, and he hit a corner three. I think that was the first or, you know, second of his career. It looked fluid. And next thing you know, he's protecting the rim. He's finishing at the rim. That's an element that, as long as Porzingis is out, that Boston can't counter. They don't have that type of athleticism on the blocks.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I thought, you know, just Derek Lively, for what he's doing at his age, the maturity that, you know, he showed today, and he's just pure energy. I think sometimes we forget that on the court, energy will take you a lot of different places. He finished today with a double-double, you know, also did a really good job on the defensive side of the basketball, right? Just long closeouts, rotating when he could, fighting for every rebound and loose ball. He definitely brings that energy and that inside presence. I completely agree with your statement that that does not look the same for the Celtics if you don't have Porzingis on the court.
No, and here's the other part. You said it yourself. I didn't feel like there were a lot of open shots that Boston had that they just missed. I felt like Dallas's rotations defensively were crisp. They were on the same page. It wasn't one of those, we're giving up the layup and the three. Like, I felt like, especially in game three, when the game started to get away from them, Tatum would get downhill, Jaylen Brown would get downhill, and all of a sudden you would just lose contain. You lose whatever principles you were having. You would lose, like, you would get distressed. Today I felt like Boston was in distress. And Luka playing downhill, getting the smaller defenders on his back, not paying attention to the referees. I just felt like he took the game and played with a certain, like, force and pace, and that enabled Kyrie to play the way that he played. Like, it was, you know, even just the numbers. Luka 29-5-5 with three steals, diving on the floor. Kyrie 21, 6 assists, 4 boards, only 1 turnover. They didn't give Boston anything, I don't think, Ice, as far as the turnovers, as far as getting beat on the boards. Like, it almost felt like they played a flawless game in a desperate situation.
I was going to say, I think it was. I mean, Dallas only finished with 9 turnovers, right? Taking care of the basketball. They shot 50% from the field. And then 40% from three, right? I just felt like overall, it looked like a very balanced scoring attack. And like, yes, you can say that with Luka dropping what he dropped, right? And Kai having 21, Luka having 29. But the other players, Lively coming in. Exum, how about Dante Exum?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, 10 points, 2 rebounds. I just thought he brought such good energy. And I like Exum at the point guard position. He often, like Luka today, pushed the pace. Hey, let's ram it down their throats. Let's force them to play defense. Let's put the Celtics on their heels. So I think just that aggressor mentality, but it's so key, you know, for the Mavs with as much work as Luka and Kai do, that the bench comes in and is productive.
Yep.
And it just seemed like they had the total recipe today. Everybody played defense. Everybody was bought in. Everybody scored the ball on the court, starters, and then the bench as well.
Now, it's funny. Tim Hardaway Jr. gave them absolutely nothing in game three. I think it was like 0-7.
Yeah.
He comes in garbage time and starts lighting the world on fire, right? I wonder if Jason decides to go to Tim again in game five and go to when the game is actually in doubt. Will that confidence trickle over?
I hope so and think so.
Okay.
You know, I think being a shooter myself, right? Like everything is about confidence. Everything is about confidence in your mindset. And so once you see a few go in, you're like, okay, I'm back. I've got my rhythm back. My team is playing good. We've now got to go on the road and win a really tough game in Boston. You need every piece you can get. And so if Tim Hardaway Jr. can come in and knock down two and continue to stretch the floor, give somebody a good break and still be productive. And then again, play defense, because we cannot forget Dallas. We have to play defense in order to have a chance. Yeah, I like that look. I also tell you, too, you know, we talked a little bit about the pace, but I don't think it was to me going into the game, it was going to be as big of a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't think pace was going to be the thing that I was like, man, wow. But I felt like in looking at all of the elements in which they dominated, a lot of that was because the pace at which Dallas played at, like consistently rebounding. And you can play with pace when you out-rebound a team by 21. When you're plus 21 on the boards, you can play with pace.
Now, you talked about Dante Exum. And I think we should touch on that a little bit more. He brings the ball up, which takes pressure off of Luka to have to bring it up. Takes pressure off of Kyrie to bring it up. Having played both positions yourself, does that make things a little bit easier? Is it less like taxing on the body? Do you save a little bit more energy? Or do you like controlling the pace and determining how quick you're getting up the floor, how quick you're getting into the sets? Like, give me the pluses and minuses of that.
Yeah, 100%. So I give you a great example, actually. In game three, after Luka had fouled out, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, we're going to have to go to Kai. Everything's going to have to go through Kai. And I was so mad that he kept bringing the ball up. I was like, bro, they are guarding you 94 feet. You're having to change direction 6, 7, 8 times just to make the first pass so we can get into the action. Or he's changing direction 6 or 7 times, holding the ball up, and then going off a ball screen. So it's absolutely exhausting, especially when they're playing you 94 feet. Now, that didn't happen today. It didn't seem like Boston wanted to play offense nor defense today. So I felt like bringing the ball up the court, like it wasn't as much pressure. But I felt like in game three, towards the end of that, that also made the difference in why the Mavs weren't able to score the basketball, why Kai wasn't able to get good shots off, because he also had to carry that load of bringing the ball up, taking care of the ball against a really good defender, and then starting the offense. So I definitely think that that takes a load off. And that's why Exum was just awesome. Like those 14 minutes of somebody else running the point, somebody else pushing the pace, even pushing the pace in transition and allowing Luka or Kai to be the trail. Right, to come after the play, and then you have to guard the trail. You know how much defense has to work if you've guarded somebody in the paint and then now the trail is coming and it's the first or second best score on the team? Like, now you've got to rotate out, now you can attack the gaps, and now you can get whatever you want. So I definitely feel like Exum and just his points at the point guard position were truly crucial. And you know, Kai and Luka, they put a lot of work in, right? It's the end of the season. Like, everybody's tired. Everybody is grueling. Everybody's bodies are going through it. So whatever minutes you can steal off of them having to work for their shots, it's a plus. It's a plus. And I definitely thought Jason Kidd did a great job of managing that. I also think Jason Kidd did a good job of managing defensive subs. It was a little bit earlier in the game, but like end of first quarter, second quarter, when it's like, hey, we can get Luka out here for a minute 19, okay?
Yep,
we can get Green in and play a little bit of defense. Maybe can we get a stop? Can we secure a rebound? I thought he did a good job, too, of like key defensive subs to get his superstars a quick blow and not be able to give up anything. And because the whole team was committed to playing defense, it worked.
Well, look, You just said it. Everybody tired. You know who tired? My ass. I'm tired too. I was ready. I hadn't even had a flight booked for Boston up until like the second quarter. I was like, look, man, this is about to be a sweep. They don't want to leave home. Like, Boston's going back home anyway, regardless, right?
Right.
The gumption, the sort of backbone that Dallas played with. Let me ask you this, because I'm sure you heard a lot of the criticism that Luka Doncic had to hear, whether it's from, you know, Charles Barkley or Kendrick Perkins or my buddy Brian Windhorst. Did you think it was over the top like Jason Kidd alluded to? Or did you think that this is what is required for a guy who's made all these NBA first teams who we think could be in the conversation for best player in the world? Where did you sit on how heavy the criticism was? Or did you think it was all fair, all in bounds?
We can't say that you could be the best player in the world if you don't play one side of the basketball. Like, I was a two-way player. My favorite players are two-way players. College, it's Hannah Hidalgo, who leads the country in steals. It was Kevin Garnett for a while. That was my favorite player because of the way he defended and played defense. If you're on the court as much as Luka Doncic is, and you only play one side of the basketball, you are a liability. I don't care which way you say it, guys. I don't care if you score 30, 40, 50. You still are a liability. If you score 40, but you gave up 39, what are we talking about? And that's me being nice, because sometimes he scored 33 and given up 50 if we really want to talk about it. So I feel like the criticism was warranted. And I felt like the criticism came from people who understand what it takes to win on that level from what they've seen, right? From what they've seen. I always think it's so easy to use Kobe Bryant as an example, right? Because of Mamba mentality. But it's the reason why we brand Mamba mentality. Because it doesn't take a break. It doesn't take a playoff. It doesn't take a day off. And so I felt like the criticism for Luka was like, you take plays off and your team gets burned for it. You fouled out in game three. Team got burned for it, right? And so I think it was totally fair, especially because some of us think that he is the best player in the world. Like, with great skill comes great responsibility. The responsibility
Thank you,
to play.
Okay.
Hey, you feel me. Look. And like, he needed to play defense. So I felt like the criticism was valid. I was on the criticism train. I had over here game three notes. PJ Washington didn't score, barely. 17-2 run in the fourth quarter for Celtics. Last note, Luka needs to play defense. It was that. Like, that needed to be the adjustment in order for them to have a chance to win this game. He plays too many minutes. He's too valuable to not care. And what makes me mad, actually, after watching this is, like, you know he's capable of it. You know he's capable of playing both sides of the basketball and having pride in it. It's just whenever he chooses to or feels like it or is healthy or has the cardio to do it. And I'm sorry, but, like, again, everybody's tired. Everybody is grueling. Everybody is going through an injury right now, but not everybody's in the NBA Finals. Like, push through. So I think the criticism was warranted. And I think, like, a superstar and someone who we would say is the best player in the world, he responded. The response is more important than the criticism that came before.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah, tell me. What do you think?
I think it depends on who's saying it and how they're saying it, right? Do I think the criticism was warranted? Absolutely, because he cost them that game. Like, Kyrie was on. Like, they needed him. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, one of the worst feelings in the world, and I can say this from playing high school, pick up, all this other stuff, is when your teammate says to you, hey, man, we need you. You know what I mean? Like, when someone says that to you, they're saying you're not doing your job. Like, you're not doing what we actually count on you to do for this stretch of the game. And I felt like Kyrie was killing it. He was in his rhythm. He didn't play a perfect game, but Kyrie had done his job to get those guys into it. A few of those guys started making shots. Lively started to get going a little bit. You know what I mean? PJ Washington hit a few shots at the right time during that 20-2 run. And when your guy is not playing defense, not getting back on defense, and just arguing with the refs and fussing, I think he's going through something. I think he was very distracted by things going on outside the floor in game three. We may not be able to discuss them, but I definitely think he was distracted. But that don't mean that you still ain't got to show up and play. Like, he needed to show up and play. And I think it was a appropriate response tonight. Right?
And also, like, when your leader is distracted, the whole team is distracted. You know, so I think also, too, like him as a leader, as the main scorer of this team, the engine offensively, right, getting other guys and making them better, feeding his teammates. Like with that, if you're distracted, then we as a team that's following you is going to be distracted. And I think we saw that. So I completely agree. And I just, again, like really like his response. I think his response is that of somebody who is trying to be the best player in the world.
I still think that fat man in Denver, like for whatever reason, we tend to forget. Like, Nikola Jokic is still, like, that dude. Like, I don't know when we decided to, like, take the crown off of his head and all that other type of stuff. I get that they got knocked out in the Game 7 at the crib. Totally understand. But I'm not willing to relinquish that. Because if I take it away from Jokic, now that means he ain't getting it back. Like, usually, if you're the best player and someone takes it from you, that means they're holding the title belt. They're holding this imaginary WWF championship belt.
Right.
I'm not willing to take it away from Luka just yet, but we're about to pay some bills. And when we come back with Ice, we're going to talk about what to expect from Game 5 in Boston, besides the obvious. Back on the Good Word with Good Will here at the AAC Game 4 final. It was like a massacre here. You know what I mean? I feel like 50 Cent was somewhere around here, you know, rapping. Because it was like 50 Cent versus Ja Rule in 2003. Like, that's what it looked like. Ice, that might be over your head ever so slightly. It might be.
No.
It might be.
Actually, no. It might be, but it's not. But thank you, though.
Okay, put thank it like you, this. Though. You know what this was like? Tonight was like Kendrick releasing two songs in a day. Except it only gets you one game. You know what I mean? That's what it felt like. It's only getting you a game. And that's why we got to go to Game 5 back in Boston. Because why wouldn't I want to spend Father's Day in Boston? Beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. You know what I mean? No place I'd rather be. So we know the atmosphere, Ice, that we're going to see. Like, those crazy people are crazy. I say that affectionately, right? They're going to be a little liquored up. They're going to say some crazy shit to Kyrie. But Kyrie has broken, like, this streak of 17 games or whatever it was. Do you think from what you saw in Kyrie in games 1 and 2 that he let the crowd get to him a little too much? Or was that Boston defense and he can figure that out? What did you see in games 1 and 2 compared to 3 and 4?
Yeah, I'm actually going to say Boston defense. You know, obviously there is an emotional component to, you know, him going back and playing in Boston. And that definitely exists, you know, as a competitor, right? Just wanting to like hammer it home and drop 40, right? Kind of thing. But I did think that Boston's defense was impressive. I thought that they sent layers at him defensively. And layers means that once one layer is broken, it's a second layer that's stepping up to help. And once that layer is broken, because Kyrie will break down two defenders, then it's a third layer that's there. And I just thought they did a really good job of just showing him constant layers, constant defenders in front of him, and making him like extra work for all of his shots. And so I feel like Kyrie can figure that out. But what I'm going to say is, like, I actually truly believe that everything for the Mavs will stem from their defense, because they do better when they're playing with pace and when they're able to get out and score the basketball, and Kai can flow in the open court. And the open court doesn't happen unless you're getting steals, unless you're getting quick rebounds and you're outletting and you're getting out there, right? And so I think pace is important for Kai and for Luka, but obviously the Mavs overall. And so I think that the first maybe two games, their pace looked a little bit slower, and therefore Kai looked a little bit more stagnant, right? And when pace looks slower, he looks stagnant. There are more defenders there. Now things look clustered and he can't operate like we know he can. So I would say, I feel like, you know, the defense and setting the tone and then pace is super important. But I definitely think that Kai has to be fantastic in game 5. I think that he has to be electric.
Well, I think he finished better around the rim in games 3 and 4, even despite the loss. More straight line drives. He wasn't hesitating on the drives. He's going left a lot more. He's been going left a lot this series. And I think that's because Drew and Derek White have all been forcing them there. And that's just the way Boston has been shading their defense. Now, flip it to Boston's side. They didn't get a game from Drew Holiday, who had a lot of turnovers. You didn't get a game from Derek White. Like, nobody really had anything they can hang their hat on. What do you see from those two? Because I feel like they're going to get a response from one of those two in game 5.
Yeah, and I think I would be banking on Derek White a little bit more. You know, he was minus 29 today in 31 minutes of play. And he has just been so solid, so consistent, so efficient. It kind of was almost like he was due for a bad game. You know, like it just, it was going to happen. But I think he's been one of the most consistent players and members of the Celtics throughout the season, but especially in the playoffs. So I would look for him to do what he's been doing, right? Stretch the floor, knock down open shots, make good decisions offensively. And then in terms of Holiday, right, I think his focus becomes the defensive side of the basketball. Can I change the game with my defense? Can I make Kai, you know, have a tough game like games one and game two, right? Where, hey, it's just Luka chucking up every time and like, hey, our team is good. We've neutralized the main threat, right? And so I feel like that would be their focuses is like Derek White making sure that he knocks down shots consistently. He continues to create shots for teammates. He does a beautiful job of getting his defender up in the air and then kicking to the next person and moving the basketball. And then Holiday, it's just got to be defensively. I feel like for him, he did have 10 points today and 3 rebounds and 29 minutes of play. But to me, his impact comes more on the defensive side of the basketball and setting the tone there. And that just did not exist today for the Celtics and what in any capacity. Curious on your thoughts about, you know, where Holiday can be better.
I felt like he took more threes in the floor of the offense that kind of caught you off guard in game three. You know, like you can, like he's more, I won't say a volume shooter or a rhythm shooter, but you can't lay off of him, right? So catches your hand down, he will shoot. I felt like Boston's shot diet in game three compared to game four was a little more telling. Like game three, it's not my brand of basketball. Let me just tell y'all this. I don't like all these damn threes. I like exploring the middle of the floor. I like getting to the bucket. I like seeing different brands of basketball. But if Boston is going to play the math game, they took 46 threes in game three, 36 twos. Tonight, the game got out of hand. So, of course, the numbers are going to look a little more skewed. But at the end of the third, it was more 50-50 at that point. Mm. If they're going to win, Boston's going to have to be plus 18, plus 20 from three like they were in game three because they're not going to take the twos and you're not sure if they're going to really get to the line because Tatum and Brown aren't blow-by-you guys that can just draw contact and make it so obvious that the refs are going to have to call it. If Boston is going to be who they are, and like I said, this ain't my get down, ain't how I kick it, but if they're going to be the team that takes the majority of their shots from three, they're going to have to take a lot more threes in volume in game five. And that can lead to a lot of variance. That can mean you can blow them out, or that can mean that you can literally throw yourself out of rhythm and we'll have our behinds right back here for game six.
And I add to that, you know, with them shooting a lot of threes, there also has to be an intentionality to offensive rebound.
Yeah.
Because if you allow Dallas to rebound today the way they did, again, they were plus 21 in the rebounding battle. If you're shooting and chucking threes and you're not knocking them down at a high clip and they don't have a good shooting performance, they have to be there to get second chance opportunities and to keep Dallas from playing defense. Otherwise, if it's a long rebound, hey, gets to Kyrie and they're pushing pace, it'll be an ugly game. It'll be like we watched today. So I feel like, yes, with them knocking down shots and getting more of those up, but there's got to be an emphasis too on offensive rebounding and keeping possession. I feel like that's something we talk about in soccer. Like if you're a soccer fan, keep possession. But the same applies also to basketball in terms of offensive rebounding. Like, wear the other team down because they have to play defense for 30, 40, 50 seconds.
And that's the thing with Dallas. If they're not hitting shots and they're running all that ISO ball, they're not putting you in positions of distress. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they're not running off the corners. It's not a whole lot of cutting. It's creating actions that's almost an illusion. And then Kyrie or Luka, you guys are going to cook and go to the open spots. Tonight, I felt like even though it was like super small, let's post up Gafford once in a while. Let's post up PJ just to get you a different look, see where the defense goes, see if we can force the action. Now, the problem is them dudes forget how to dribble sometimes. You know what I mean? Like they go to the basket, they don't take the ball with them. And it's the most hilarious thing. Like Derrick Jones Jr. is making all of us left-handers look bad out here. I'm like, bro, I'm a left-hander. I got handles. And you a left-hander. You acting like Jaylen Brown in 2022. You know what I mean? Like, this is not what this is supposed to be. So, Isis, if you had a vote, I would assume that before tonight, it would have been Jaylen Brown as finals MVP. Not, I'm assuming. I was taught never to assume in a, with a woman. Okay. So yeah. I'm going to get myself in trouble and out of trouble. But where does it sit with you tonight so far? If you were to have a finals MVP, granted series isn't over and all sort of stuff, but who you think has been the most impactful player of this series so far?
Oh, it's so tough because today was such a stinker for him.
Yep.
Like such a stinker. He just was so, not a factor. Just not a factor.
3 of 10 from the field, 1 of 5 from three, 10 points, 2 assists, a rebound, and 2 turnovers. Jason Tatum wasn't much better. He was 15 and 5 and 4 of 10 from the field. So neither one of them really covered themselves in glory tonight.
Yeah, for sure. But and I guess what I mean by saying is like not a factor is like, hey, one side of the basketball, you're not knocking stuff down. Cool. What's going on the other side of the basketball? We know Jaylen Brown is more than capable of playing defense and like committing to that side of the basketball too. So, but I would say that they're still up 3-1.
Yes.
Right? They're still in a comfortable position. Mm-hmm. And he has definitely been the main force behind it. So I would say that, yeah, right now, I think I'd still give it to him. And if he bounced back, which I think between games 5, 6, and 7, he will eventually, I think it still goes to him. Yeah, curious on your thoughts. I'm not 100% sold on that take, though, guys. Like, I feel like I'm answering the question because you asked me.
So vulnerability is good here. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't divine intervention. That's like the most ultimate vulnerable spot. Like, I ain't gonna be giving y'all all of my innermost shit, but I will, you know, I will be honest here. No, I think before tonight, it was Jaylen Brown, because when I think of the moments of this series, and not necessarily the stats, but the moments, the critical moments, the high leverage instances, that's Jaylen Brown. They're still up 3-1. The sky isn't falling. Like, I know the total number is probably Dallas by a few points, even though they're down 3-1. I am curious, though, if Porzingis is healthy enough to, you know, suit up, but not healthy enough to play. That puts a lot more pressure on those guys in a situation where the home crowd is going to be waiting for someone to deliver something. And the longer it goes, that Dallas stays in that game. If they don't get blown out early, if they just weather the storm, you weather that early 3-point barrage because you know they're going to just come out shooting.
Right.
The longer it goes, the more doubt that seeps into Boston's mind late in that game. And sooner or later, them ghosts gonna show up, right? Sooner or later, that Boston that we got commitment issues with could show up. I tend to think they win. I tend to think that Jaylen Brown has been the most impactful player in this series, but I think it's been more, now it's at a point where Jason Tatum could steal MVP. Jrue Holiday could steal MVP if they have an impactful performance in game 5.
Yeah, I think it's up for grabs for sure. But I still think that the most important person that needs to be on point in the next game for the Celtics is Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, just because he's so important on both ends of the floor.
Yeah. I think that that's just going to be, you know, extremely important. But I don't think they'll win the next game.
Really? We got a hot take. Hot John, we gotta get like a ring, like a drum, or like some type of hot take alert from Ice. Because she says, Vinny, you are bringing your black behind back to Dallas, where I get to see shags and jean shorts. I have seen so many shags and jean shorts through this place. I feel like Dallas is stuck in 1996. Like, that was the last year they won the Super Bowl, so maybe they are stuck in 1996. I didn't know it's possible to be bald at the top and have a shag in the back. I've seen it.
I was going to say, I'm in Dallas as well. I second you on the jean shorts, on the gauchos. It's more like gauchos here. You know, they still got a little length there, like below the knee.
Yeah. I'm embracing my cargo short period of my life, right?
Okay.
I did go to Kitchen and Cocktails. Nobody twerked and got kicked out, right? I've heard that was
thank God.
I heard that was a thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a thing there. People get kicked out of Kitchen and Cocktails because they don't know how to act. You play some 90s R&B music and people decide to lose their ever loving minds.
It's over.
Right?
It's over.
Now, I will say this, because I've been wrong in every game of this series. I also believe we'll be back here for game six.
Wait, no, you can't say that. You've been wrong. No. Say the other thing.
Oh, and have Boston on my... Look, I have a contentious relationship with Boston, right? Like every other black person, right? I have a contentious relationship with Boston right now. Boston is not very happy with me. The right wingers are not very happy with me. The religious right is not very happy with me. And they all have ganged together to have a meeting in my mentions. It's like a meeting of ghosts, okay? John is probably over there literally saying, abort, 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 because he doesn't, you know, he's like, Benny, you're going to get ISIS to never want to come back here again. But I feel like we got a baptism by fire here. So me and ISIS have both selected the Dallas Mavericks to win game five, which means the season is over. That's what it means. It means the season is over because we have both picked the Dallas Mavericks to win. But
yep.
ISIS, I want to thank you for joining. I called you ISIS. Ice is her name. If y'all see her in the streets, you call her Ice. You don't call her by her birth name. You call her Ice around these parts, right? Ice.
Ice is a little safer. Just call me Ice. Don't yell my birth name. That you, I don't know.
I'm with you. Don't nobody call me my birth name, but my mama, and she don't even do that half the time. So I'm with you. So Ice, I'm great. I am blessed to have you here. I know the Christians are like, he said blessed, but he just got on Joe Mazzulla for saying he was a Christian. It's home. Ice, when I tell you, we're going to have some fun here. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get you in trouble. We're going to get in trouble.
I love it. Thanks so much for having me.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Ice Young. Don't forget, she's going to be a big part of our podcast plans here for the next NBA season, and she's going to be all over the W coverage. Thanks to producer John and the entire team who worked so hard behind the scenes. Jake and Dan, they'll be back to do another host of No Cap Room on Monday night. And until then, from American Airlines Center, everybody be safe.